Blog Talk Radio.
Jagged jigsaw pieces tossed about the room. I saw my grandma sleeping with her old straw broom. She didn't know what she was doing. She could hardly understand. Yeah. She was really sweeping up pieces of a man. I saw my daddy meet the mailman. And I heard the mailman say, now don't you take this letter too hard now, Jimmy. They've laid off 9 others today. But he didn't know what he was saying. He could hardly understand. He was really sleeping up pieces of a man. I saw the thunder, heard the lightning, and felt the burden of his shame. And for some unknown reason, never turn my way. Pieces of that letter I tossed about the room. And now I hear the sound of sirens come knifing through the gloom. They don't know what they are doing. They could hardly understand. They're only arresting pieces of a man. Saw him go to pieces. I saw him go to pieces. He was always such a good man. He was always such a good man. They saw him go to pieces. I saw him go to pieces. I saw him go to pieces.
Peace and blessings, love and service family. This is Sister Susan. This is a POPS Movement Radio presentation. POPS, which stands for People Organizing Peace Systems. PEACE has an acronym also, which is preparing everyone as change evolves. POPs was started behind the walls, originally prisoners organizing peace systems. The six steps of peace was started, utilized, and proven to work in one of the roughest prisons in the state of Georgia. And when I say the six steps of peace, I mean the six steps being: one, form a bond; two, identify the problems; three, express the importance of unity; four, developing solutions; five, implementing strategies; and six, taking on responsibility for things that you do. You can go to our Blog Talk Radio if you want to listen to this or any of our other shows that are in archives. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/POPSMovement. You can also reach us at www.POPSMovement.net. POPS is not affiliated with any race, religion, street tribe, or any other organization. We have an open-arm policy. We are all-inclusive, never exclusive. Please, if at all possible, refrain from cussing, as we do have elders, children, and others that may be offended. Also, this is not a debate show. Everyone, please speak from your heart and keep an open mind. At this time, tonight, we're going to be speaking on domestic violence. And I have Sister Kawana online. Sister Kawana, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you?
Okay. I'm good. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
That's good. I know me and you spoke when we spoke on the line the other night. Kind of give me a little bit about your background and how you became involved in domestic violence awareness.
Okay. Well, it began as a young girl, you know, seeing it in the home. My mom was being abused by her husband. A lot of women in my family, I've seen it growing up. And then as I grew up and got out into my own life, I kind of got involved in the same cycle of abuse in my own relationships. But what prompted my advocacy work for domestic violence was not only my personal experiences, but maybe about 7 years ago, my best friend, her mother was murdered by the hands of her abuser. And we found her in her apartment. She had been murdered. We had to do a well-being check after being asked to go check on her. We didn't get an answer. Sent the police by there, and they opened the door. She was laying there dead. And you can tell she had tried to escape but just didn't make it out. She made it to the front door but just couldn't make it out. So she was like, I think, almost 60 years old, you know. So she had lived in silence. She was married over 40 years, lived in silence. He died through a heart attack is how she got out of that. And she tried to relive her life and met a man, and he murdered her. And so with that, it just really caused an uproar, a lot of rage, because he's a free man to this day. And so we just want to make people aware that they can speak out. They don't have to be afraid to ask for help or to, you know, reach out to someone. So we kind of just started our own little movement called Stand Up, Speak Out to raise awareness.
Right. And this guy, was he older or younger than her?
He was younger than her. He was younger than her, you know. She had been married over 40 years, and he was very abusive the entire marriage. And he passed on, and she met a younger man, and he had her feeling really good, you know, about herself, and, you know, feeling loved all over again, just a brand new, refreshing feeling, you know. And that's what happened. And after we kind of found out who he was, we learned that he had just gotten out of prison before meeting her from serving a 10-year sentence for murdering another woman years back.
Mm. That's crazy. Get out and redo the same thing all over again.
All over again, and got away with it.
And did it go to court, or has it just never, has he never been identified?
Well, to be quite honest, they actually had him in custody. They had found his car, and I guess had photos of him at the laundromat, because I guess he had tried to go clean up some blankets that had blood on it.
Uh-huh.
And I guess he had an alibi some strange way. I think a family member was an alibi or something, to where they said it wasn't enough to pin it to him, and he walked. But no, it didn't go to court or anything. I guess just after investigations is what they came up with.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had proof, I mean, if they seen him trying to clean up what he did, how could they not, you know, at least charge him?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how we feel the same way. And it was just devastating. And because, she, you know, as my best friend, she never got closure, you know. She never got closure. And so it was, you know, three of us are best friends. And each of us experienced our own domestic abusive relationship, you know, growing up through our parents and ourselves, you know, to be honest.
Right.
And that was the end result for one of our friends. And so myself and our other friend, we just felt like it's nothing we can say to bring her back, nothing we can do to bring her back, but we decided we're definitely going to keep her name alive, you know. And so we started the organization, the movement. We raise awareness pretty heavy. I go around speaking about it, telling her story, saying her name. Vicky Myers is her name.
Uh-huh.
You know, sharing statistics and speaking to women, girls and boys and men everywhere. You know, we have an awareness walk we do every October.
Okay. And you, I mean, you yourself, you've been in to where you've had to leave your house physically with your kids.
Yes, I have. I became a mother at a very young age, 15 and pregnant. I gave birth to my oldest daughter at 16. And that was my personal experience with abuse in that relationship. I had been pistol whipped. I had been thrown from a moving vehicle while I was 8 months pregnant. I had my face busted open. I mean, the list just goes on. You know, because I wouldn't hold drugs, or I couldn't wear makeup. I couldn't wear dresses. I had to report when I got home from school. I've been dragged off the bus stop in front of my friends. You know, and the only way I got out of that relationship was through incarceration, because he had kept going to jail for other things he did on his own.
Right.
And eventually I got into another relationship. I had two more children, and the first 7 years of that relationship was the most beautiful experience I've ever had, up until we had gotten older, and, you know, he got a little bit more freedom, you know, and kind of got involved with other women. And within that, it was just a lot of, you know, yelling, verbal abuse, mental abuse, and then emotional abuse. And then it also turned physical. And it was just one night that kind of just changed everything. You know, we had a really big fight, physical altercation, and it was in front of the children, you know, and I just had to make a decision eventually that I just had to go, and I relocated to, I left the state and relocated our lives. Yeah.
And okay, so as far as statistics now, in 2017, I'm already ready for it to be a new year. I'm trying to say 18, but
yes,
but as far as statistics go now, as far as physical abuse, mental and domestic violence, period. I know that includes men and women.
Yes.
What are the statistics now at this time?
Well, this time, on average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner, and that's just, you know, within the United States. So during a whole year time span, that equates to more than 10 million women and men. That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
Yeah,
that's a
that
large
is
number.
A lot of people.
That's
definitely
a lot of
a
people. So, yeah, and it's one in three women and one in four men have been victims of some form of violence by an intimate partner within their lifetime.
A lot of people don't want to include men, but men are beat on.
There
are some men that won't hit a woman back, and they'll sit there and they'll take it.
They'll take it, and I think from research and just by talking to different people, especially men, the numbers are so much less because men are not they're not speaking out. You know,
right.
makes them feel. You know, demasculated, or they're embarrassed, or, you know, how could you as a man get beat? But it's true. Women murder their husbands. I mean, I know some stories, you know, and verbal abuse, you know, women, it happens both ways, men and women, but we women, we have those sharp tongues, you know. We can definitely be verbally abusive, you know, towards men. And a lot of times we don't look outside of that. You know, we just think, oh, we're just talking, or, you know, it is what it is. But really, it's abuse. You know, it's abuse, and
yeah.
I think it's important to make people aware of that. So, you
right.
know, that's a little bit how we can, you know, change that around once we are aware.
Yeah, because you don't like to admit it, but yeah, we do have sharp tongues, and a lot of times, most men aren't going to sit there. That a lot of them will just walk away. They don't want to get into our altercation.
Yeah,
and they'd rather walk away. But yet, you got some women that just keep on and on and on. You know, they'll go at them. I've seen
yeah.
it happen in front of me, and I've sat there, and I'm like, really? If that was some other man, your butt had already been in the ground.
uh-huh.
But,
yeah.
you know, it's bad to say, but it's true. It does happen. I mean, this woman, she slapped her husband in the face and punched him, and he
yeah.
still turned around and walked away, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I've never seen this before. It was just,
yeah.
you know, it was unreal in a way, because you're like, this is a man, this woman's going at him. But she had done it before, she knew she could get away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah,
that's not something, that's something that a woman has, in that case, you know, she had done it over time, so she knew how far she could push things, and she knew he wasn't going to hit her. Whereas if you're
right.
in a, you know, if you're in a relationship, if that don't go on, then you don't know what somebody might do.
Yeah, you never know.
You know, especially in a new relationship, even if it's a year old, 2 years old, you know, you know when somebody gets mad, but you don't know how far it might take them. They might hit you.
Yeah.
And they might take it so much, and then they're over, you know, okay, you're going to do it like that, let's go. But,
yeah.
and you know, it's bad to say that sometimes you see people, I've seen people out in public, it seems like they just want to see what buttons they can push to see what they're going to get out of them. And you're like,
yeah.
Do y'all really want to go here in public? You know, be in a bar with somebody and sitting there. Well, I seen you looking at that woman, you know, just to start something and just to see how far you can take it. It's like, why do you want everybody in your business? Take it outside and have your discussion. Don't be out in front of everybody doing it. But, and sometimes maybe that, I don't know, it seems like sometimes people want an audience when they do something like that just to let people know that, hey, I ain't to be messed with. So,
right, yeah, to take some type of power, you know, to demonstrate some form of power,
So where exactly do you have the marches and everything that y'all do?
Well, we're all from Chicago, so and that's where Miss Vicky unfortunately was murdered. She lived in Chicago, so we started there. We just had our sixth annual awareness event October 7th in Chicago, and this year. We were also able to expand it to Springfield, Missouri, and we had that event on October 14th. And, you know, we just want to keep popping up everywhere that we can because it's so important. You know, it's much more than a walk, you know. It's an experience because we bring statistics, we bring facts, we also bring entertainment in the form of like saxophone players playing music during intermission or as we are walking or closing out or during our moment of silence. We have survivors who come forward for the very first time ever after leaving the relationship and they're ready to speak out. They tell their story. So we give them a platform, you know, to cry, to be seen, to be heard. You know, it's very powerful. We have praise dancers, poetry, a lot of things happen, and we provide people with handouts on where to go for help, you know, how to plan an exit strategy, you know, so it's just much more than people getting together and walking, you know, it's definitely a bigger purpose behind it. So, yeah, but Chicago and expanding.
Okay, so it's in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you a few tips then. Okay, say somebody wants to get out of a situation. What is their best course of action to be able to get out of a bad situation?
The best course of action that I would give any person first is to really know that you're ready to leave, that you're at that point, because otherwise you're going to return. You're just going to go back. You know, you're just going to go back after an apology, flowers, or some type of gesture, a couple days, you're going to return. I've done it myself. I've seen so many people do it. So it's just like I've seen people relocate their house to move to a different apartment and the person is just right back. You know, so I would say to really know that you're done because otherwise you're going to just stay in it. So that would be my first thing. After that, once you're convinced that you're done and you know you're done, then you would just take proper course of action to prepare your exit, you know. Is this person going to be aggressive? Is this person going to allow me to leave without another fight? You know, do you have to sneak out while they're at work? Or, you know what I mean? Do you have to have the police standing right there while you take your stuff? You know, those sorts of things, if you kind of know that, is it as far as you're going to a shelter? Or can you go to your family's house? Or do you have to jump the state like I did? You know, I necessarily didn't have to do that, but I was at my breaking point because I became an alcoholic and I was borderline suicidal, you know? And so I just felt like I had lost everything. So for me, I was going crazy. I was losing it. So I just left. I left my whole life and packed myself and four children in one suitcase. And I didn't have any money. And I left. You know, it was more so a very emotionally abusive relationship, more so. But that is just as bad, you know, because it kind of connects with your mental. And so I wasn't strong enough to endure that. I would just say to someone looking to leave, be sure that you're looking to go, and then plan your exit, you know, and just go from there. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because fear also keeps you in that position. Fear also keeps you, because you're afraid. Yeah, you're afraid of judgment. You're afraid of being independent. Can you make it on your own without this person? If you've built a life with that person, if you were a person that didn't work or was financially dependent upon that other party, you know, so don't be afraid, because you can make it with nothing. You can be knocked down to ground zero and you'll rise above, you know. So I would encourage them to know they're done, properly plan an exit, you know, talk, have someone, you know, a form of support, and eliminate fear, you know. That's what I'd say, because at the end of the day, you know, we all have a higher power who has our back first, you know.
That's right.
I myself,
the last person that was physical with me was the man that I was pregnant by, and he raped me and beat me till he made me lose my baby. And, of course, he's in prison. He's still in prison. I go to every parole hearing, and I make sure, you know, he not only messed me up, but he took our daughter's life.
Wow.
Because I was 6 months pregnant. So, you know, she was formed, you know, she was a person. And I make sure, you know, they know, hey, you know, this one is my daughter, but it's his daughter too. He killed his own child. So,
wow.
I know even after that, that being said, I mean, there's no way I could have went back to him after what he did. Even if he didn't go to jail, I couldn't, because he just flipped me out anytime, even at court. I'd see him raise his hand and I'd jump, and they'd be like, "What in the world's wrong with you?" And he's way across the room. I was like, "It don't matter. If you had to put up with what put me through, you'd do the same thing, even if he's way across the room." Because he was looking at me like, "I won't get you if I ever get out."
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and I'm like,
imagine.
"Oh, no." If you're going to sit there and look at me like that in front of the judge and all these police officers and these judges and, you know, these attorneys and stuff, then I know you're sick in the head.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is there ever been a study or anything like that that would point to why some people do it and some people don't do it? I mean, is it just, what is it about a person that brings that out of them?
I think anger issues causes it, trauma from, you know, childhood. If you've seen it, you know, I know someone personally, a guy, you know, who had seen it growing up. You know, he didn't have a father. He got into the streets, and it was just glorified, you know. So sometimes it's your environment. I mean, it's a lot of different things. Mental health, you know, which is something that hasn't been in the limelight as a real issue, but it is a real issue. Mental health, you know, bipolar disorder, you know, things like that, you know, can cause it, post-traumatic stress, you know, just all sorts of different things. And, you know, sometimes it'll be those rare experiences where it's just someone who's been fine, you know, was raised up in a good home, good upbringing, got a great career.
Yeah.
And they just strike you, and it just happens. And everything was so beautiful. They were there's a story about a married couple. They were church-going people, career-oriented, family-oriented, very focused. Never anyone had ever seen any form of abuse within that couple. And they were in church one Sunday, and that Tuesday, she was dead. He killed her, you know. It's a lot of secret things. Yeah, a lot of secret things going on. You might lose your job, or, you know, you might catch your mate, you know, messing around on you, or, you know, all sorts of things I've seen,
Mother,
you know, through studying,
you know,
through research.
You,
yeah.
You saying that reminds me of this show that I watched. I think it's on Discovery ID or whatever. And it's like you'll see these families and everybody on the outside, oh, they're a good family, they're the perfect family, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, these murders, you know, kill the whole family, or, you know, all this crazy stuff's going on behind walls, you know, behind closed doors, so crazy stuff's going on. People outside don't know nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
And you just don't ever know, you know. And I know I've had a friend of mine, you couldn't have told me her husband was beating her. You couldn't have told me that, because when they were together, and I mean, they was just, he was the sweetest thing. He'd do anything for her. But I know she called me one night. She was like, come get me. And I was like, what's wrong? She's like, just come get me. I was like, what's going on now? She said, you'll see when you get here, you'll see my face. And I'm like, okay. Well, I was like, okay, what's wrong with her face? And so I got over there, and he had, I mean, both her eyes were black. Her nose was pouring blood. I was like, what happened? And she's like, I didn't want to say nothing before. She said, but I can't take it no more. I said, so he's been doing this the whole time. They've been married for 15 years. And he started even before they got married.
Mm-hmm.
He had been doing it
because
they were high school sweethearts. He had been doing it when we was in school. But he would hit her in places where normally other people wouldn't see you unless you got your clothes off or something. He'd bruise her, like, somewhere like that. So you wouldn't, you know, so you wouldn't be able to see. But that last time when she came outside and I looked, I was like, what in the world? She's like, it's been going on since we was in school. She said, before we got married, before we had the kids. I'm like, you know, she's got three kids by him. And every one of the kids has seen him beat her. And the last time when she told me to pick her up, when he was hitting her, their son had told, you know, had jumped in front of his daddy and told him stop hitting his mama. And he knocked their son across the room. And she said that was it. She said, I can handle him beating on me. She said, but when he put his hands on my child, that was it.
It's serious. It's a very serious issue, and you know, it's like we said, that that unaddressed trauma, you know, from childhood, or you know, people want to be in power. You know, they don't want to feel they want to feel entitled. You know, so if you like embarrass them, or you know, they don't like the way you answered a question, or the tone of your voice, or the facial expression you made, some things like that trigger some people, you know, or you know, whatever, or you know, people have narcissistic behavior, you know, where they're just really all about themselves, you know, and these people know how to, because I've seen this in a dating relationship where the person knew how to turn it off, you know, knew how to turn
right.
it on. Like if we're alone, you know what I mean, in a car, and if, uh-huh. if you're around someone and it kind of just slips out, that yelling, they fix it really quick with a smile or, you know, a laugh, like, oh, I was just kidding around, or, you know, something like that. You know, you got to really, it's really hard to determine a person through their actions even sometimes, because they'll be the most genuinely authentic person they can be.
Oh, yeah.
Keep you off your feet, you know what I mean? And that fools you, mm-hmm. and that sometimes keeps you too, because the incidents are few and far between. You know, oh, we have more good times than bad times. So it's just all about how you value your worth too has a factor. How much you know that you deserve better, and that's for men
right.
as well. You know, because sometimes we just think we don't deserve better. Or we won't find better.
Well,
you know, people,
a lot of times you have low self-esteem, and you know
yeah.
you just feel like you ain't worth a piece of poop on the floor, you know.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
just feel like you can't get anything better, you know. I know with my friend that I was speaking on, you know, she had gained weight over the years because of having all the kids and everything, but she's a very pretty person. I mean, she's beautiful face, you know. She wasn't that big, but she should. I can't get nobody else. Why can't you get somebody else? I see men every
yeah.
day with big women. I don't
yeah.
see why you can't.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
There ain't no reason not to think.
Better.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
she didn't believe
you feel like you're
better.
A piece of
yeah.
dirt.
Yeah.
I never understood, you know, I mean, I know how I felt when it was happening to me. I put up with it, but that last straw was, you know, being raped and being made to lose my child. I mean, I put up with a lot from him before then, before the rape happened. You know, he ostracized me, or he'd make me stay in the bedroom if people was over at the house. You can't come in the living room until everybody leaves. You can't go in the kitchen until everybody leaves. I'm like, what in the
yeah.
world is up? Like, I mean, even his brother had came to check on me, because when I was pregnant, I stayed sick a lot. And he was at work. His brother had came over to check on me because I was real sick that day. And he came over and he came in to check on me. And it was right before my boyfriend was supposed to get home. And so he knew his brother would be, you know, coming in. So he didn't feel like there was no, you know, no problem with it. And he had actually brought me some soup and some crackers. And when my boyfriend walked in, he said, oh, y'all are messing around? And
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there, I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm
yeah.
sitting here half dead because I've been puking all day. And you're talking about somebody messing with somebody. And he's like, that's why I told you to stay in the bedroom when people are here. You probably been messing with this, and that. I'm like, oh, my Lord. I'm like, this man is crazy. And he's just jealous.
Yeah.
That's what it was. He didn't trust women, and I don't know why. His mama, she said, I did not raise him like that. His mom said, I don't know where he came from. She said,
yeah.
that is not my child. She said, none of my other kids act like that. She said, I don't know what happened to him. She said, I don't know what woman that came before you did to him. She said, but that's not the child I raised.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I mean, my son got pulled on his leg one day and told him, you know, stop hitting my mama. And my son was like 3 or 4 years old. And my son, as he got older, and he still always asked me, you know, mama, he's not ever coming, getting out, is he? And I said, as long as I can walk and talk and breathe, no. I said, I'll make sure
mm-hmm.
he don't come home. And my son said, I'll never hit a woman. He said, I seen what he did to you. I'll never hit a woman, Mama.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of times
yeah.
it can go either way. Sometimes a man can see that happening and they'll do it themselves. But a lot of times they see it happen and it makes them totally against it.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen both sides of that as well myself. Yeah. It will turn them totally against it. I think with me doing the work I do and having a son, he's very actively involved. He's only 9, but he's very actively involved. And I talk with him about the signs and point things out. So if he sees or hears something, he's kind of like, oh man, you know, that's not good, you know. So he's learning that now. So, you know, I hope that he keeps that and carries that with him into his adult life, you know, as well, to know the importance of not to abuse people, you know.
Right.
Because it affects children. It affects children as well. My daughter, yeah, they kind of seen me go through it just a little bit. They just saw the more emotionally abusive mom, you know. But they see it. They've seen it. They remember it, you know. They still talk about it, you know. So you know, it follows children. It follows them. You know, our children, they pay attention. They hear and they see, and it sticks with them, you know. And these children are getting into these dating relationships early in high school. They you know, think they're in a really serious relationships, and a lot of times they are. And it's happening right there in those high school years as well, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of times you don't know about it then, even though, you know, you think you know your best friends, you think you know what's going on all around you, but a lot of times, you know, behind closed doors, like I said, you don't know what goes on. You know,
right. You don't.
You never know. Everything can look perfect from the outside, and you get behind them doors and it'd be totally different.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to just have the conversation. Have the conversation as often as you can. Have the conversation. Teach people, show people the signs, you know, how to avoid it or escape, or, you know, what it's like. And focus on our young people. Focusing on our young people, our college students, it's important, because if they don't learn early, you know, it can be them, you know. It can be you, it can be me, you know. So we just have to continue to have a conversation and keep raising awareness at as much as we can.
Yeah, and it's bad when you have to talk about it with younger children, but always have to prepare them, because, you know, as you said, high school, it can start in high school, it can start in middle school with boyfriends, girlfriends. Mm-hmm. You know, it's bad that you have to, you know, sit down with a child and tell them, hey, you know, if anything like this ever happens, you know, that's just like the talk you have with your kids and stuff when you say, you know, if anybody ever touches you, you know, in your private parts, then you need to tell somebody, you know.
Yeah.
That's something that we shouldn't have to do. You know, we shouldn't have to talk to our kids about stuff like that. People shouldn't do that kind of stuff. But, you know, we all know it happens. We all know it can be your family. It can be friend. It could be whoever that'll touch a child. So, you know, with that, then you have to, you know, you always have to be prepared. And
you do.
I mean, if you have to sit them down at a early age and say, look, you know, just, you know, pay attention to, you know, the way someone treats you, or, you know, the way somebody, you know, acts towards you in a certain way, or, you know, whatever, to keep them to be mindful of domestic violence, or, as, you know, violence between a boyfriend and a girlfriend. You know, that's something that we have to do, even though you don't want to talk to them about it. That's something that's got to be done.
Yeah, it's very necessary. You know, it may be uncomfortable, but it's very necessary. And as parents, you know, a lot of times we know our children. We know they go to school, they go to sports, and they work, or they come home, or you think they're over Sally's house, but they might be over John's house, or you know, you might think nobody's at your house when you're away at work or whatever. But we have to be involved. We have to pay attention. We have to have these conversations because it's so necessary, because things will go on right under our nose, right in our house, and we would have no idea. I was getting hit in my head with bats and pistols in my mom's house at 16 years old. And, you know, she was at work, or, you know, she was involved in the community, you know, doing her hobbies, but it was happening right there all the time. And she had no idea, because I didn't tell her, you know, I didn't let her know, but we have to be alert, you know. And sometimes it just takes a little more work as a parent. And I can say that too from my own personal experience, because I went through it, my mom went through it, and I worked so hard so that my girls, I have three daughters, wouldn't have to go through that. I make sure that they know the signs, and, you know, they go with me to all the events and all this stuff, but
right.
Still and all, when it's their time to get out there and get their own relationships, all that talk mom or dad did, it fell on deaf ears sometimes, you know. And my daughter was, she was 17, and all this stuff I worked so hard for, she forgot it for a moment. But I had to remind her, because she had gotten a situation where a guy she was seeing in high school, you know, he would go through her phone. He'd get jealous if she hung with certain friends and not him, or, you know, he yelled at her a couple times, or, you know, she didn't go out with friends because he wanted her to go out with him. And I said, daughter, that's abuse, you know. And exactly. I would hear her in her room yelling and screaming, or she'd throw things. I'm like, what's going on, you know. But I didn't catch it right away. You know, once I got a whiff of it, I turned into Godzilla, you know, because I was Momzilla, because I had to really shut it down. I had to shut it down, her down, him down, speak with his mom, you know. It was a very big deal, because otherwise that cycle would just continue, you know what I mean? And who's to say what the outcome would be, you know? It would be more than going through your phone. It would be hitting you would be next. You know, so even me with my advocacy work, I had to really, you know, get on my oldest daughter even through that. You know what I mean? So, it's no rule book. It's no perfect way to parent, but we have to reach these young people. We have to.
And when you went to his mother and you told his mother what was going on, what was her reaction?
Well, I'll be honest, her reaction, I didn't really like her reaction, because I think it was just me more so, it being so much different than how I would react, and so maybe I was a little judgmental there, but my thing was that she was very receptive to what I told her. She didn't like what I told her. She opened up and expressed how she had been in abusive relationships, and the boy had seen it. And so she's like, I think he's, you know, kind of still affected by that, you know, as we talked about that childhood trauma, you know. So, you know, he was angry, you know, and she just dealt with it the best way she knew how, you know. And, you know, everybody do things differently, you know. And so it just we had to really pry them apart, you know, because my daughter was in love. She really felt that she was in love. So it was like that. We had to say, okay, I'm going to end up, you know, sending you somewhere, you know, if you don't get a grip on yourself, because you're losing yourself. And so I just reached out to the mom. I said, I need your help here, because I know they love each other, but it's not healthy for them. So we kind of, you know, worked together. I reached out to his father, who's not with his mom, but I reached out to his dad, and we all just kind of tag teamed a little bit, even with help from her friends. I reached out to her friends, you know, and just got really involved. And then she got a clue, you know, she got a clue. So, but the mom, she just did the best that she could. Yeah, she knew how to do.
I don't know. I don't know what I would have ever done if somebody came and told me my son was beating on them. I mean, he's my child, and I love him, but I just have a certain feeling about that kind of stuff. I mean, even as I've gotten older, my mom, a guy she was dating, well, he slapped her right in front of me. And the second time he was fixing to slap him, I grabbed his hand. And I said, if you slap her one more time, I said, me and you's going at it. And my mama looked, she was like, are you crazy? I was like, I'm not scared of him. I was like, you're my mom. I'm going to protect you at all, you know, at all costs. So, you know, you think about those things, you know, and like you said, you turned in a momzilla. You don't want that kind of thing going on with your children.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have to step in, especially when they're younger, you're able to have more of an influence on what's going on.
Yeah. Yes,
as
that
opposed
definitely
to when they're out on their own, you can tell them till you're blue in the face, but that don't mean they're going to listen.
Yeah, exactly, because that teen dating violence is just too common. You know, they say about 1 in 10 high school students has been purposefully, you know, hit, slapped, or physically hurt by a boyfriend or girlfriend. You know,
right,
and so they're getting it at an alarming rate. You know,
yeah, so it's starting earlier and earlier as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I agree.
You're not, I mean, we can say, I mean, could you actually say, like, brothers, you know how brothers and sisters fight sometimes? I've seen some pretty violent ways of brothers and sisters going at it. And that can also be considered domestic violence also, when they're getting to physical, when they're hitting and beating on each other half to death. So
yeah,
so do they have like I know they have a 1-800 number or something that you can call into to get help?
Yes, they do. The number is 866-331-9474. You can call in, and, you know, they have lines and volunteers available 24/7, 7 days a week who can help you, route you to someone in your area. You know, they let you know where the nearby shelters are or where you can go, you know, for a certain type of resources, you know, because sometimes you might just be calling to get a divorce attorney or what to do with a restraining order or, you know, different things like that. So, but, yeah, it's help out there. It's help out there. And one thing I always try to tell people, because when I was in the abusive relationship and I was on the inside of that life, you know, so many people are so quick to judge you and call you stupid or say, you're not smart. If it was me, I just leave. Why don't you must like it. Or, you know what I mean? People can be so cruel. And these are things that you hear from your family, you know, these are things that you hear from your friends. So you feel alone a lot of the times, you know. And so what I would say to people, because, you know, you got a lot of people who've never been in that, or you got some people who went through it, and they literally mean that person has one time to touch me and I'm out. And there are people like that.
Yeah.
And, you know. So, and they're
gone.
That's how it got.
When I got older, that's how it got with me. You touch me one time, I'm gone.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, now you can't even look at me if I, you know, the wrong way.
Exactly.
I'm out, you know. Yeah, so it's you know, it gets that way. But with people, I always say, you know, always just open up your ears. Always open up your heart and your minds and be receptive of what other people are going through, you know, because someone might just need an ear, you know, just someone to talk to, or, don't judge a person because they stay. They're just not aware how strong they are just yet, you know.
Right.
They're not ready. They're still afraid. They don't know how valuable they are just yet, you know. So they have to do it within their own time. Unfortunately, some people never make it out, you know. But just to tell to listen, you know, just listen and support people in those things, because domestic violence is everybody's business. It's a community issue. It's an everybody issue. It's happening in every community, in every city, in every state, all around the world.
Right.
It's happening. No matter how good you think you look, no matter how much money you have, no matter how many degrees you have, your religion, your race, your sexual preference, it's happening within the LGBTQ communities as well. You know, it's just a widespread thing, and so it can happen to any of us. And it may not happen to you directly, but it can happen to someone you love. And so
Right. It's
just to, you know, learn the signs, learn how to be supportive to victims, and just know, because, you know, have the conversation, because you never know when you're needed or if it will be you one day. Nobody's exempt.
Right.
Yeah.
No, nobody's exempt, that's for sure. And, people, you know, sometimes it's crazy how people think that just because they live a certain way or they have a lot of money or, you know, they're this or they're that certain things can't happen to them, but it can no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it all the time in every race, religion, you know, whether you're gay, straight, it don't matter. It's all the same. But I know we have one caller that wants to come on real quick.
Okay.
Area code 44693. State your name.
Yes,
tell us where you're calling from.
Okay, peace and blessings, love and service to the family, man. This is Brother Hess calling out of Georgia. Just wanted to chime in briefly and say hello. How you doing, Sister Queen Susan, Sister Queen Kiwana? How y'all doing tonight?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored, and I've been listening to the show, and, you know, definitely, you know, I give both of you sisters a big salute for being able to, you know, confront such an issue that other people seem to run away from. And, you know, I love what we shared tonight, because it's about communication, and it's pushing people to get out of their comfort zone and confront these issues, whether it's personally or whether it's communal. It's like, if you see this going on and you see that this woman isn't strong enough to deal with it herself, you know, go in and say something. And it's like, I wish to God, growing up as a child, somebody would have said something to my father-in-law when he was punching my mama out. You know what I mean? I wanted to kill that man, because what he was doing to my mama, you know, it's like when he hit my mama, he was hitting me. And then I took another gut shot on top of that gut shot because of the fact that I couldn't fight this grown man back. I was only 7 years old. So now, not only did I feel physically hit the way my mama's eyes was black, but I also felt mentally and emotionally hit because of the fact that I'm the only man-child my mama got. I'm the only boy in the house, and so it's like I couldn't protect my mama. So I felt weak in a sense. I felt hit emotionally because, you know, I wasn't able to defend my mama. And that took a lot out of me. It made me become a victim of sorts, you know, not in the sense where he actually blackened my eye, but, you know, he blackened my pride. He blackened my, you know, my boyhood, you know, because he hurt my mama. And so I wish that somebody would step in. I wish that one of my uncles, I wish that one of my people would do something to, you know, take on this, you know, this weight, this mountain that was on my shoulders at the time, because it was bearing down upon me. And so, you know, when I listen to you sisters speak tonight, it strengthens me, because y'all are giving life to this issue. Y'all are giving strength, and y'all are showing people that it's okay, and that not only is it okay, but you're actually a hero and a shero for stepping up and helping others to confront issues that they're weak or frail or, you know, lacking confidence in being able to address themselves. And so, you know, big salutes, major salutes to you, Sister Kiawana Sutton, for everything that you've done, you know, in Chicago with the event earlier this month, and most definitely for everyone that's listening in to tonight's broadcast. You know, I just want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart and soul for bringing awareness to domestic violence. And, you know, everybody that's willing to continue to do this, you know, major salute. It just don't take place in October. This is a day-by-day opportunity. And when you see it coming on at the next party, or when you're out at the club, or, you know, I'm not saying jump in the middle of somebody's thing and end up getting shot yourself, because you got to be careful with things like this, because, you know, a man and a woman that have gone to the levels of hurting each other in order to express their differences, it's like, these are some sick people, you know what I mean? If somebody's sick, and if somebody even sicker, I done seen times where one person may come in and be like, hey, man, don't be hitting on that woman. And before you know it, you're like, oh, man, help you, sucker, you know what I mean? And then the man trying to help save that a woman he don't even know, end up in a fight with the dude, and then she come in and help her old man that was just about to knock her out, you know, and then she climbing on this dude back trying, and it's like, whoa, hold on, I'm trying to help you, man. He just beat the brakes off you, and I'm stepping in, striving to be a gentle man to humble this cat. Now you beat me across the head with a bottle. I guess you like being beat. I don't know what the hell is going on in this situation. And so we have to be real, you know, meticulous in the way that we think and making our approach and what's the best way to help someone, you know, because sometimes they tell you, even when dealing with, yes, ma'am.
No, I was agreeing with you about taking your time about the approach with helping people. Yeah,
cause, you know, they'll tell you, like, in recovery, when you're dealing with people who are addicted to drugs, hardcore drugs like methamphetamines or crack cocaine or heroin or powder cocaine, these hard drugs, sometimes you just got to leave a book and walk away, because they ain't trying to come up out of that addiction right then. You know, they deep, and you feel bad and sorry for them, and you love them, and you know, you're empathetic. You done took a walk in their shoes, and it's like, man, you got it bad, and you want to help, but, be very cautious in the way that you approach situations, but definitely do not ignore it and do not make light of it, because you could be helping to save someone's life. And I'll close out with a little story. You know, our very first March for Healing and Peace took place back in 2013. It was the very first time that we ever organized an event in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. And we did a March for Healing and Peace based on bringing healing to a community where one of the founding members of Pop's Movement had committed a murder about 6 years before this time when we did this event. And so the founding member's family came out to the place where the murder happened and did a candlelight vigil for the life of the other black man who had been taken away too soon. And in the midst of that event, one of the main speakers was a brother that was notorious for robbing people on that side of town. And he had strive to change his life after many years in prison. And he had gave a speech that day and spoke about how his biggest thing that captivated his mind wasn't his desire to rob people, but more have control over women. and he wanted to have control by any means necessary. And so he would use violent tactics to do so, and he was like, now he's stopping that because he know he's hurt a lot of women over his lifetime, just like he apologized to the community that day for robbing so many people right there in that 5 to 10 mile radius of where the event took place in the projects and ghettos of Atlanta, Georgia's west side. But anyway, make a long story short, about a year later, they had the brother on 48 hours, the first 48, because he had beaten his old lady and stabbed her to death, you know what I mean? And they followed him to arrest him, and, you know, he shot himself in the head and killed himself a day or so later. And, you know, such a tragic incident, and I often think, you know, what could we have done? How could we have communicated to this brother? You know, how could we assisted this sister? Was there signs, you know, leading up to this point? And so, you know, never think that our time or our, you know, opportunities to say something about situations or give people some type of encouragement to get help is little. Don't think that what you're doing, well, I know everybody else has already said something. I'm not going to say, no, you say something too. You know, you leave a little encouragement too, and all of our little drips and drops of encouragement and, you know, best wishes can lead to a woman going to a safe house. I thank y'all so much, and I love y'all very much. I say peace and blessings, love and service.
Peace and blessings.
Thank you. Peace and blessings.
We have one more caller, area code 770-940. State your name, where you're calling from. Speak from the heart.
South Carolina, man. This came back, and I want to say, you know, that peace and blessings to all the kings and queens that is on board right now, listening right now. This is a very, of course, you know, imperative topic that we're building on because, you know, outside of this, that's in relation to it, you got a lot of sexual harassment incidents, too. That and also two sexual abuse incidents that deal with a lot of queens across the board. You know, a lot of issues that swept under the rug. Some things are hidden only because those individuals that are getting abused, they may not have that kind of spark and courage to really bring it forth. And then for the ones who do bring it forth, it's misinterpreted or it's misconceived by those whom they speak to. And you know, it's a thing of communicating, you know, being able to, you know, bring a level of understanding to where, you know, suggestions and effective suggestions can come into play to where we can help those who are victims to be able to better respond to situations and have a little more exertion of self-control and more exertion of self-strength and self-worth and self-value to be able to say, okay, well, look, I don't have to succumb myself to these terms, regardless of how blinded they may feel by love or misled they may feel in the situation. And this, for speaking from a man perspective of me being a young man, I can say that from my various incidents as far as, you know, my social upbringing and my social disposition with females, I've never took into the level of put my hand on a woman ever in my life. However, I've had females from having, you know, prior arguments, I've had them tell me, well, you know, from your words, the way you come at me when you're aggressive, it makes me feel like you're hitting me. You see what I'm saying? So that's just to say that our influence is very profound, and you know, in terms of how we speak and where we correlate with, I mean, where we communicate and correlate with those in terms of voice. So it's like having that kind of influence, knowing you have that kind of influence on those around you, whether it's your niece, your aunties, your little baby cousins, your mother, your girlfriend, mother, your child, whoever. We just got to have a better exertion of self-control when it all boils down to it and making sure that we lead by example, because off of that, our influence is spurred. You know, our reputation precedes us. So for the low ones who are looking at us and, you know, in the homes, looking at how the interaction, how the communication and interaction is between the mother and the father or brother and the sister or however, you know, that household is set up, it has to be beneficial in terms of communication output. For those who are paying attention, it's speaking primarily about our kids. You see what I'm saying? So that way they can have a firsthand, hands-on understanding put in place as far as from example and influence to how they probably communicate to the other sex. You see what I'm saying? But I want to say that to all the queens and kings online, man. We need to have more outspoken topics like this right here, because like I said, this is one of the issues, one of the most vital and important issues that's put under the rug. So I just want to say it to y'all, man. That's love.
Thank you.
Well, we're coming up to a closing. Is there any way, any information that you want to give out, Sister Sutton, to the listening audience for them to be able to contact you or contact your organization?
Well, as far as contacting the organization, we are on Facebook as Stand Up and Speak Out Against Domestic Violence.
Okay.
You can join the page there, like the page there. You can go to my website, which is my first name, kaiwanda.com, and that's K-A-I-J-U-A-N-D-A, kaiwanda.com. And I just have information there about different things, myself, speakings that I do. And go around and talking on different topics, and you can just reach me, period. But, you know, our goal is just to raise awareness. I would just say to close out, to listen, to be aware, to learn, to people who are living in silence, because I know when we have these types of platforms or, you know, radio interviews, there's always someone listening who may not yet be ready to talk, but they're listening. And so to those people, you know, you are stronger than you think. You're most valuable. You're beautiful, and you can make it, you know, outside of that relationship. Speaking from experience, speaking from the many men and women I've seen that have walked away, there is help out there for you. When we walk, we're not just walking. We're walking for those to celebrate those who've walked out. We walk for those who are afraid to walk out, and we also walk for those that were not able to walk out. So it's just a movement to stand up and speak out. But just this year so far, really quick to let you know, statistic-wise, there's been 519 gun-related domestic violence fatalities just this year. People are dying. Babies are dying. If you ever want to look up and research something, research the story of Nova and Ava. You can Google it. Nova, N-O-V-A, and her daughter, Ava, A-V-A, a mother and daughter were murdered. Look up that story. It will change your life. It definitely affected me. And, changed my life. It's because I never looked at an innocent 8-month-old baby murdered, you know, as a result of domestic violence. 10 million people a year are physically abused. That's 10 million people. 10 million people in 1 year. In 1 day, 20,000 calls are made to domestic violence hotlines. You know, women are raped. A lot of a form of domestic abuse is reproductive coercion. A lot of people may not be aware of that. I'll be honest, I recently learned about that myself. Reproductive coercion is where, if you're pregnant, a form of it, if you're pregnant, your spouse, your partner will influence you to get an abortion or not have that child, you know, by threatening you. So you're getting abortions under duress, you know, or, you know, things that you never thought you'd do. That's happening. And a lot of women have to deal with that, the after effect behind that. So just learn the signs. Help other people by learning the signs. Get involved the most smartest way that you can. And just get help if you're in the situation.
Pardon me, Queen. You said stand up for domestic violence?
It's Stand Up and Speak Out Against Domestic Violence. Stand Up and the AND symbol, Speak Out Against Domestic Violence.
Okay, well, we're going to close out the show now. You can join us back on, Thursday nights we have Breaking the Curse with Brother Jan and Brother Hess. And, excuse me, Sunday nights we have, which the calls have been more, the shows have been towards the Peace Summit 2018, which will be happening in L.A. Brother Hess and Brother Hess has been doing the show with different elders from the 93 Peace Summit done, and with Carl Upchurch back in 1993, the first one was held. And there's a lot of elders that are still around. Carl Upchurch himself has passed on, but there are still elders around that were there at the time, and we've been having them on the shows on Sunday nights. So thank you again, Sister Sutton. It was nice speaking with you again.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you coming on and sharing the information you shared.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Anytime. I appreciate you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Y'all want unconditional love. Talking about the stuff that don't wear off, it don't fade. Now it lasts for all these crazy days, these crazy nights. Whether you wrong or you right, well, mama can still love you. Spirit feels you. Still there for you. No matter what. To my truest thoughts, my truest feelings, all my peers doing years beyond drug dealing. How many caskets can we witness before we see it's hard to live this life without God? So we must ask forgiveness. Ask mama why I got the urge to die. Witness the tears falling free from my eyes before she could reply. For we were born without a silver spoon. My broken down TV show cartoons in my living room. One day I hope to make it a player in this game. Mama, don't cry, long as we try, maybe things change. Perhaps it's just a fantasy, a life where we don't need no welfare and wish with our own family. Maybe it's me that caused it, the fighting and the hurting in my room crying, cause I didn't want to be a burden. Watch mama open up her arms to hug me, and I ain't worried about a damn thing. With unconditional love, big game, vision in the eyes to see. No things change, the future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dark, so you will always be in my heart. Unconditional love, the lessons in your eyes to see. Though things change, the future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dark, so you will always be in my heart. With unconditional love, just got the message you've been calling all week. Been out here hustling on the streets, ain't had a chance to speak. But you know, with you and me, it's all G. We could never be enemies, cause you've been such a good friend to me. Where would I be without my dogs? No wonder why when times get hard, cause it ain't easy being who we are. Driven by my ambitions, desire higher positions, so I proceed to make tea eternally. And my mission is to be more than just a rap musician, the elevation of today's generation. If I can make them listen, prison ain't what we need. No longer stuck in greed, time to plan, strategize. My family's got it, me. We will make something out of nothing. No pleasure in the suffering. Neighborhood will be good if they can cut out all the busting, the liquor and the weed, the cussing. Send the love out to my block. The struggle never stops. And this change, I'm in the eyes to see. No things change, the future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dark, so you will always be in my heart. With unconditional love, the lessons in your eyes to see. No things change, the future's still inside of me. We must remember that tomorrow comes after the dark, so you will always be in my heart. With unconditional love, I probably never understand your ways. With every day I swear I hear you trying to change your ways while getting paid at the same time. Just had a baby with the same eyes, something inside recently died. These are strange times. How come I never made it? Maybe it's the way I played it in my heart. I know